The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would open our hearts, that they would not be barren, but would be fertile to receive the seeds of your word. Help us to be watered by your spirit, to be refreshed, and lead us in grace, we pray. Amen. Last week we started our series on salvation for all people, in which we're looking from Genesis all the way to Revelation, how God is on a mission to bless, to save all people, to offer reconciliation and peace to all people. And last week we started with the Tower of Babel and heard about the fearful hearts and the false unity that drive us to build towers in which and through which we worship ourselves. And we wondered, how might that speak to our community? How have we fallen into some of those patterns? But we were left with, what is God going to do about it? What is God going to do about it? And so today, we're going to move to Abraham. But first, we have to talk about someone else. We have to learn about Walter Mitty. You meet Walter Mitty in front of a computer screen, trying to gather up enough courage to press enter on his online dating profile. And he actually doesn't want to meet a bunch of women, just his coworker that he's figured out a way to zero in on this dating thing. But he doesn't have enough courage. He's scared. He's afraid. Because really, Walter Mitty is an ordinary kind of guy who just does ordinary things, and he just stays in line. Except one day, he's on the train platform going to work. It's on the L. He's in New York. And he hears a cat meowing. And there's a fire. And he runs and leaps off of the train station platform, flies across the street, crashes through the window, and rolls into the firing apartment building. And he grabs and finds the cat, and he rushes downstairs. And he's like, here's your cat. I saved your cat. And it's the woman that he's been wanting to meet. Yeah. He did it. Except for he didn't. Because that was in his imagination. You find out, no, that didn't happen. He's still in the train station and his train had flown by and he wasn't paying attention because he was daydreaming. He's a persistent daydreamer. And he works at a magazine company. He works for a magazine that's being bought and flipped or whatever. And there's all these new managers and they're redoing everything, you know. And he gets in like a little tiff in the elevator with one of these guys, these new guys. And you find out that, right, he starts a wrestling match in the elevator and escalates. And all of a sudden, the two of them are like superheroes flying through the city, destroying everything while battling it out. And then, of course, it's another daydream, right? And so he has all these adventures in his head, but he never actually has any adventures until he gets a letter from the very famous photographer that he's been developing film from for, like, all these years. So Walter Mitty works in the basement. He receives and takes care of photos and other important documents. But he lost this important photograph. The guy who's like multiple Pulitzer Prize winner, is that what you get if you're a photographer or is that just a writer? It's one of the two, whatever. He's multiply awarded, this photographer, he's done all this great work and he says, this is my best picture in my entire career and you have to put it on the last issue, on the front cover. And Walter's like, it's not here. It's gone, it's missing. And everybody's expecting him to find it. And so he keeps trying to buy himself time. And someone says, go to the photographer, go get it, go ask him what happened. And so he does. He's like, hey, I'm going to get fired anyways. I might as well go. And so he actually gets on a plane and goes to Greenland. And he gets in a bar fight in Greenland. And then he finds out that the photographer is on a barge in the middle of the Arctic. And so he gets on a helicopter and jumps out of the helicopter into the water, gets rescued from sharks, and put onto the barge. And half the time you're wondering, is this actually happening or is he just pretending? But it's actually happening. So he's finally having an adventure. Then he gets to Iceland. he runs away from an erupting volcano. Then he gets to Nepal and starts climbing the Himalayas. So he's doing all these things, and he finally meets the famous photographer. He's like, you didn't send me the thing. It's missing. Where is it? Walter Mitty has moved from his daydreamed pretending adventures. There's been a crisis, and he's actually entered into an adventure of his own. And he's learned things about himself. At the end, he actually gets arrested by the Border Patrol because he had gone to all these random places, and so they think he's a terrorist. And so when he tries to come back into the United States, he gets arrested because they're like, they think he's crazy. But he's gone out into all these adventures. Whew, Walter Mitty. He's gone on an adventure. How many of us sometimes feel like Walter at the beginning of the story? Wouldn't it be nice to go on an adventure? Wouldn't it be nice if my life was Dustin? Yes, Dustin's ready. Ready for the adventure. Wouldn't it be nice to maybe see God like at work in a powerful way? To see mission going forth? When is that going to happen in our lives? Does anyone ever feel that way? Like, where's this Christian adventure going to start? When's all that stuff? I hear these missionaries. Those missionaries always have great stories. Where's my story? And so today, we hear of the beginning of an adventure of Abram. We hear three things in this passage I want us to focus on as we think about this adventure of God's mission. We hear of barrenness, we hear of blessing, and we hear of believing. Barrenness. The end of chapter 11 introduces us to Abraham and Sarah. And it says twice, for emphasis, she's barren. She's without child. Duh. That's what barren means. Right? But whenever Scripture repeats something like that, like duh, we're supposed to pay attention. It's not just that she is barren, that her family will not have an heir, a child. It's not just that they don't have a future, that they're stuck in the present without any hope. But really, they're a symbol of all that's come before in Genesis 1 to 11. The world is grinding to a halt. There is just barrenness, death, destruction. Barrenness. And do we ever feel that way, that our lives have gotten stuck into a barren, deserted place, ground to a halt, waiting for God to do something? Will I be able to pay my bills? Will I have the family that I wanted to have? Why does winter have to start so early in Chicago? Barrenness. And so what happens? Well, just as in Genesis 1, in the beginning, when the world was formless and void, God spoke and created light and life, so too now, Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, God speaks again. There's a new beginning. A new birth is coming forth. God's word goes forth. And it comes to Abraham, Abram at that part of the story. And it says, go from your country. This is 12 verse 1. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make for you a great nation. I will bless you and make you a great name so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's word comes as a promise of blessing. And not just blessing, but a blessing in order to be a blessing to others. Genesis 1 to 11, the blessing has ground to a halt. God's creation is failing. In Genesis 12, God says, no, curses won't be the end of the story. Blessing will flow again. And it's a blessing that is meant for Abraham to flow to all nations. God's mission comes through him to all nations. And this is right where God's mission begins. We talk about incessantly, right, here at Life on the Vine, we are a people who long to live in Christ with one another for God's mission in the world. And this is the fountain of God's mission in the world, where it starts again, the call of Abraham. To be blessed by God in order to be a blessing to all people. God's blessing is meant to flow to him and through him to all people. And aren't we a blessed people? Pam led us through this wonderful litany where we're celebrating all of God's work, all the things that are happening. And it's a wonderful thing. I always feel blessed to be a part of this community. I know you all have been blessed and have been a blessing to others in your missional orders, triads, barbecues, soccer games, different things. Can we name any? I know we already did, but I just want to name more of the blessings here at Life in the Vine. Are there others that you guys are just excited about? Playing cards with Eric a couple nights ago. Yes, except for my team lost. But otherwise, it was a blessing. What else? Triad. Youth night. Play dates. Fixing the parsonage basement. Yes, thank you. Amen. What else? Amen. All the generations getting along, worshiping together. It's so beautiful.
Holding babies.
Holding babies. What did you say? Art. The celebration of art. Yes. What was that? The wisdom of the elders. Yes. We need more of the elders here.
The colleges that we do.
All right. The way we raise up different leaders. That's right. God's work among us. Yeah, amen. Amen. We could probably go on and on and on. We've received so many blessings here. And principally, we receive the blessing of Christ. Here we read that a blessing comes to Abraham and will flow through him. But we know that all spiritual blessings have come to us through Christ Jesus, who offers us forgiveness, who gives us redemption and freedom from sin, who has given us the Holy Spirit and filled us with power and gifts for the people of God and for the world. We have been given all these blessings, and they start and they were in God's mind when he called Abraham. And in Christ, we receive them. Can I get an amen for that? That's a big amen. In Christ, we have received all of these blessings. And because of these blessings, we, but also Abraham, look to God in faith or in belief. And so after God had called Abraham wandered around the promised land for a couple years. He's going from the top to the bottom, the east and the west. And at the end, you hear this. After he'd gone through many different places, he was at Bethel. And there he built an altar to the Lord. And there he called upon the name of the Lord. Or he invoked the name of the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord. And this isn't just a one-time calling like, oh, I'm worshiping and so I'm going to call the Lord. It's not just like some sort of phrase. But really, we're meant to understand that from that point forward, Abraham only called on the name of God. Only looked to God for help. Only looked to God for the promise that out of barrenness there would be blessing. Abraham looked to God knowing that God brings blessing out of barrenness. And he was hoping and only looking to God for that. And the same is true for us. Are we a type of people who are only looking to God for these blessings, for these hope? Or are we looking to other things? Are we calling upon other names for salvation, for hope, to fix our lives? Are we looking to different strategies or techniques? Or like Abraham, are we only calling upon the name of the Lord? Will we live in faith or belief so that we might be a blessing and that we might be blessed? Of course, it's not all roses for Abraham, is it? He doesn't walk faithfully down the road forever, never wandering to the right or to the left. Actually, the very next story, you find just how little faith Abraham has. They go visit Egypt, and he's worried that that, you know, his wife is so beautiful that all the kings are going to kill him so they can steal her. I'm sure all you men have had that same problem all the time, right? Nod and say yes. And so, right?
All together.
Right? And so what does he say? Thank you. So he says, well, she's my sister, which is basically like, don't kill me, right? She's my sister. But what happens is God actually ends up cursing Egypt and punishing Egypt because of Abraham's lie. Instead of being a blessing to all nations, now he's being the cause of curses to these nations. And he gets impatient. He gets impatient for the promise, the heir, the son, the child that he's supposed to have, that Sarah is barren and God has made a promise, and yet God hasn't fulfilled that promise yet. And Abraham gets impatient and comes up with another strategy. He's open to other plans to maybe jumpstart or kickstart God's plan with Hagar, and he has a son, Ishmael. And Scripture says that they're not the son of the promise. That's not what God wanted. You don't have to have an overwhelming amen, but have any of us gotten a little impatient with God's timetable? Yes, amen, amen, we have. Sometimes it's frustrating, it's difficult to trust God. And yet God promises that out of barrenness, he will bring blessing if we will believe. When it's hard, as well as when it's easy. And so what type of people are we going to be? What type of people will we be? Not just individually, in our own lives, our own families, our own neighborhoods, but as a community here. Will we be a people that just receives God's blessing and delights in that, but then doesn't in turn give God's blessing? Are we making room for the blessing to flow in and through us to others? Or are we just content with the blessing and the ways God has given us? I was talking with a friend, and of course, where was I talking with them? Starbucks. And so we were talking, and he, you know, he knows, Pastor, I don't think I've shared the story yet, but maybe I have. We were talking about the different types of people, and he knew I was a pastor. He's like, and then he tells me, he's like, you know, there's a lot of other pastors that come to the Starbucks. I was like, really? What gives them away? Like, how do you know? Are they all evangelizing you or something? Right? This is my thought. So I was like, ooh, this is great. I'm going to get some juicy information. So I asked him, well, what, like, you know, how do you know they're pastors? Wait for it. He says, they don't talk to anybody. They just work with headphones on and don't talk to anybody. I was like, oh, that's terrible. So if this sermon isn't very good, it's because I was talking to him, okay? Okay? But are we going to be known to the world like those pastors at that Starbucks? Like, oh, those Christians, you know, they're nice, but they just do their own thing. They're just, you know, hunkered down. They just have their own little world that they're a part of. Or will we be known for something else? As those maybe in your coffee shops, in your neighborhoods, at your schools, who talk to people, who are seeking actively, how can I bless this person that's right in front of me? At the grocery store, maybe it's not ducking into another aisle when you see somebody that you recognize, but you're like, you know, because you're busy and you've got somewhere to be. But maybe it's like, I'm just going to say hello and ask them how they're doing. Or maybe it's when you're picking up your kids from school and you talk to other parents and see where they're at instead of just cleaning out your inbox or something like that. Can we be a people who are ready and willing and make space to be a blessing to others? It takes work. It took Abraham a lot of work, years of work, before God fulfilled everything he promised. And yet, God did. He was faithful and true to his word, to his promise, and he brought blessing to all people through Abraham. And God is calling the same from us with our friends at school. People we don't even know, as scary as that might be. People we're related to. A blessing. God brings blessing out of barrenness. And he is doing that in our lives, and we celebrate it all the time. And I would love for us to be able to share that with more and more people. And also collectively, as a group, Are we blessing the people who come and visit on Sundays or come to different activities? I just want to throw out a challenge. Harvest party. It's not just for us. What if we invited people to, we could do that. We could invite families and people to our harvest party just to have a blessing of community. Maybe you don't know, but having community and friends is something most people don't have. Most people don't have this where you can walk into a room and know like 100 people pretty well and have a good time. People don't experience that hardly at all. And to invite people to a harvest party or a cookout or something so that they can just see that and be like, oh my goodness, people like each other. So weird. God has blessed us so that we might be a blessing, so that salvation might come to all the people in your neighborhood, in your world. I didn't tell you the whole story of Walter Mitty. So I just want to end with this, is he's on a mountaintop and he's talking, you know, with the photographer that he found. And the photographer doesn't tell him what the picture is. He has no idea. And I won't spoil the end because then I get in trouble. So, no, I did not. So, but at the end, you know, he gets arrested, but then this guy vouches for him. It's actually the guy from the dating service, vouches for him and everything, and he gets rescued. So, but he gets home and he finds out, it's worth watching, and I didn't ruin it. He finds out that all these adventures that he had imagined and even the adventure he had just been on were not as important as the life he had already had all along. And that everything in front of him was already there for a blessed life, and that he was able to bless others by just living into his life as it actually was. And so maybe most of us aren't called to overseas missions, aren't called to preach gospel messages in stadiums and saving thousands of people at a time, but we're all called every minute to be a conduit of God's blessing, to be open to the ways that God's working in every area of our life. Conversations, texting, just texting someone that you've just thought of. How are you doing? I haven't seen you for a little while. Those are openings for God's blessings to flow. So let me close in prayer, and then we'll all enter a time of prayer together.